Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith, and I'm joined for the second episode with my new co-host, Nick Runyon. Nick, welcome back to the podcast.
Hello. Good to be here.
So we are talking about big news from Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook, bringing people closer together. The news feed is changing again. But before we get to that topic, and so this is I'm hearing so much buzz, so many opinions, people freaking out on Facebook, about Facebook. And this happens every time Facebook makes a change. So we're going to talk about that. But before I talk about that, you introduced me to a new app that has basically taken over my marriage. And so my wife and I are now obsessed with Trivia HQ. Nick, tell everybody about Trivia HQ and introduce them to what you introduced me to.
First of all, that's unfair. I don't want to be blamed for anything that negatively impacts your marriage.
No, this is a positive change. This has brought my wife and I together. Good. We've yet to make any money together, but we are now closer together because we're playing trivia together regularly.
Well, because I'm in Central Time Zone, you're in Eastern, yes. And in my house, HQ Trivia launches at 8 p.m., which is right about bedtime. So in my marriage, it's always like, Nick, come up here. You know, and the boys and I are downstairs playing trivia, and
that's funny.
My wife's trying to put the little kids to bed, so
yep.
I haven't played in a couple of nights, but Jimmy Kimmel was the host last night.
No way. I didn't catch that one. That's
and awesome. It's really okay. So what HQ Trivia is an app, and so you download it, it's free, and you play trivia, but it's live. And so I don't have push notifications up on most of my stuff, but I do on this because it pushes a reminder, you know, like 5 to 8 or 8 o'clock or something like that, PM Central Time. It's 9 Eastern. And you can play in the afternoon too on most days. What would that be? 3 PM Eastern.
Yep.
Anyway, get the notification, launch the app. There's a countdown, and all of a sudden the app screen goes from countdown into live studio broadcast with your quiz master. And they're starting to like cycle in different special guests, yep. So which is interesting.
Yeah,
it's super fun. I was on there the other night, and there's 1.1 million people playing this trivia game together, and it's 12 questions. They get increasingly more difficult, single elimination, so when you get out on question number 4, you feel like a fool and you just watch people go through the rest of the game. Yep. But you can win a cash prize, and at the end of the game you either take home the whole prize or you split it with however many other people are in there.
Yep.
It's really interesting. It's very fast. You only have 10 seconds to answer. So not one yet.
So not one yet. And I'm terrible at trivia. My wife is crazy good at trivia. So I'm convinced that she will win soon. But it's just fun. I mean, I think there's a few things. I have to admit, Nick, I'm a workaholic and I can't ever stop working. And so I'm watching it and I'm thinking like, this is genius. I've got to use this somehow. Yeah. At the core though, so I'm gonna pull away my thoughts as I go through this, because I know I'm never gonna win more than $5 on HQ Trivia. But the few things that I just thought about as I watched it is every online church pastor needs, or director or whoever needs to be watching this, because the way that they're engaging an audience, especially from a mobile perspective, those people that are on camera, their intentionality, and that it's that they're talking directly to people, and that you know that they see that there are 200,000 people that got it right, that this isn't pre-recorded, like this is live, this is real, they're monitoring it, they're it's raw, it's genius. And so the way they're engaging, and then the app itself is so simple, and so it's like they created this unbelievably simple app, made it very attractive. The prize, while $2,000 seems like a lot of money for an audience of a million, that is not a big expense to draw that large of an audience and have their attention. Yeah. So it is this genius model. And if you share it, you can like even get like a question wrong and keep going, or like there's different incentives to now share. So the viral nature of it is genius. So much about it from a marketing perspective, online engagement perspective is genius. So I immediately go into ministry mode, you know, marketing mode, and just think, how can church leaders, how can ministry leaders learn from this? Is there anything from your perspective as you've played it, watched it, that you think maybe a church leader should pay attention to about with the app?
One of the things I've been amazed by, and you touched on this, is just how how difficult it is to speak to an audience really of any size, but in this case, I mean, you've got a million, you know, 700,000 people watching you live. You have to be up, and you have to be good, and you have to be engaging, because I've seen as they've cycled through some hosts, you know, at the beginning, people were, the guy's name is Scott, that was kind of the original host, and people were like, oh, Scott, you know, your thing's crashing. And they were kind of like ragging on him as they were trying to figure out the platform.
Yep.
As they started putting in different hosts, you started to realize just how clever, how fast, how good Scott was at moderating some of that stuff. So I think bringing in celebrity like Jimmy Kimmel now to do that same type of thing. I'm going to watch it tonight and just see who's on there tonight.
Yep.
I love that the thing is they're pioneering kind of a new concept for delivery through a mobile app, and it's crashing. You know, like there's sometimes where it gets really laggy and it crashes because it's just being overrun. And it feels like some of those mobile experiences that we had like 5 years, 7 years ago when stuff was just starting to come out and you were like, oh, this is amazing. If only it would work. I think a couple of things, it's hard to engage with a live audience, but when you're good, you start to realize how valuable that is.
Yep.
And then also just like brazenly moving through some of the difficulty and scalability in a way that's very open and pretty transparent. It makes it feel like a community. Like people have figured this thing out, that it exists. And, you know, I kind of, as I've shared it with my friends, I've told tons of people about it because I want them to use my promo code and give me an extra life. I tell them, hey, it's a little bit clunky. Just hang with it. It seems like the questions always come up live and on time. Yep. So even if it lags, the question will be live.
Yep.
I think it should be encouraging for us, those of us that are trying to like pioneer new stuff, it's going to break.
Yes.
That's okay. Live tech demos always go sideways.
Yes.
Roll with it, you know, and just expect it, blow through it, keep moving. You've got something valuable to offer. I think that's been really fun to watch.
Yeah, I think so too. I think one of the things that I you know, I learned, and you pointed this out in a side conversation we had, is those people on camera are so charismatic. They're so good at what they do that when I think about a ministry leader today, so I was a youth pastor, you know, in 1998 was when I started as youth pastor. And I remember a pastor talking to me like, you have to learn how to get good in front of a crowd. Like public speaking is a part of ministry. And I would say today that video speaking, video engagement is a part of ministry. If you are going to lead people, you are likely going to need to lead them on camera in some way, whether that's training, whether that's, you know, outreach, whether that's just, you know, ministering to them through a camera. It's not just the senior pastor that I think needs to learn how to engage through a camera. I think it's pretty much any ministry leader today needs to be intentional. And the way you get better is by doing it. And so I think about just if you're looking, you know, and I remember a pastor telling me that when they went to learn to become a better preacher, they often didn't watch pastors. They actually watched comedians, you know, how comedians learn how to engage an audience. I think from a ministry leadership standpoint online and not just online church, you know, I think any ministry role in the church, you can engage online. Learning how to engage a camera is incredibly important. And I think too, one of the things that Sean Cannell has shared when he was on this podcast is that when you're on camera, even when you're in front of a live audience, you need to be more animated than you feel like you are comfortable with. And on camera, it needs to be twice that. Wow. And so to engage an online audience, you need to really like push yourself outside of your comfort zone to just keep them more engaged online. So or through video. So I think they do such a great job with HQ Trivia. Lots to learn, but I would say more than anything, just have fun. And I think it's a good ministry opportunity. Get your volunteers to do it with you and then text them afterwards. Like who went and how far, you know, who got the furthest. It's just a fun game and be involved in like, this is a cultural phenomenon right now. And even by the time this podcast airs, which is probably like 3 days from now, it might have grown. It might have died. You know, like this is moving quickly. And probably when people are listening 3 months from now, they're going to be like, what was this app? That happened like 3 years ago.
You guys were so excited about that. Everybody's doing that now.
So let's talk, Nick, about Facebook's new update that everyone is talking about online. It sounds like it's the end of Facebook. So are we saying goodbye to Facebook? Is Mark Zuckerberg shutting the whole thing down in 2018?
Very simply stated, yes. It's the end of all social media, and this podcast will be closing down after this episode. This is it. This is the last one.
This is it, the end.
You know, I think change is hard. You know, Matt Brown, a good friend of ours, who you and I know well, shout out to Matt Brown.
Yep.
He posted in a Facebook group I'm in today. He's like, Facebook hates us. No, they don't. You know, I think it's interesting. So what I pull out of this is, and in the newsroom post entitled Bringing People Closer Together. So you can Google that, look it up if you want on newsroom.fb.com. It says, what is this update? And they talk about how they use signals, like how many people react to comment or share a post to determine how high something appears in the news feed.
Yep.
So this is, I mean, remember, there's smart people building computer algorithms to, at a massive scale, create user engagement.
Yep.
I mean, that's not changing, you know?
Nope.
So I want to try to, like, I've been thinking about this all day, and I think that what I've come to is, like, nothing has really changed, because it's all about how do we keep users engaged in Facebook. Yep. Now, there's a lot of talk about, you know, social media addiction and loneliness and separation, and we've heard some of this stuff come out of Facebook for the last several months about meaningful relationships, meaningful conversations. I happen to be out there, at Facebook's headquarters a couple of weeks ago, spent 2 days with some friends, and just noticed, like, even the culture, everything they're doing is about, like, meaningful community.
Yep.
You know, it's social media, be social. So when you're building a computer algorithm to try to do that stuff at scale, it makes sense that you would look at how are people engaging with stuff, and we're going to engage with things that our friends and family post more than others. I mean, wouldn't you say that is mirrored in your own experience?
Naturally. Yeah. It's as if in our real life, we build an algorithm for who we want to hang out with, you know, like, are they funny? Are they annoying? Are they loud? Are they obnoxious? Are they, you know, and it's like, okay, I'm going to minimize the amount of time I'm going to spend with this person. And I want to get as much time with this person because they're really smart. They're really friendly. They're, you know, whatever it might be. We build algorithms are a part of our minds, whether we put science to it or not. I mean, it's kind of how we function, even what food we want to eat, how often we want to eat certain foods. It is a natural day-to-day part of the decisions we make.
You know, I kind of think about some of this technology stuff. It's all new, but the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun.
Yep.
You know, and it's kind of like you're almost deconstructing what's hardwired within human nature.
Yep.
In a way, you know. More with the update, though, you know, they said they're going to also prioritize posts that spark conversations and meaningful interactions. So I've seen a few people say, like, what does meaningful mean? How does Mark Zuckerberg define meaningful?
Yep.
I mean, what do you think? Any ideas what meaningful looks like?
You know, I think the way I see, and the way I have seen the algorithm in the past, you know, so I'm trying to unlock their algorithm. So I've generally kind of given a point system to the algorithm. So I would say if a post gets a share, that's worth 5 points. If it gets a comment, that's worth 3 points. Hmm. If it gets anything outside of a like, it gets 2 points. If it gets a like, it gets 1 point. So does that make sense? So I think that if somebody's going to go as far as to go beyond just the thumbs up, maybe that's an extra engagement. They're more, they really read the post and they wanted to respond to it rather than just passively liking it. If a lot of people are commenting on it, I think it could even be the length of the comments rather than great or good or, you know, one word responses. And so I think depth of engagement and then even how responsive you might be to them. So as they see kind of back and forth conversations happen, I think we can only guess as to how that algorithm is built. And in many ways, we're trying to play the algorithm. But I think at the core of what Facebook is saying is please stop trying to play our algorithm and please just start trying to create content that helps build meaningful relationships.
Yeah.
And meaningful relationships are built around conversations, not just, you know, not just consumption, but back and forth conversations. And so I think that's what Facebook is looking for.
You know, this is something we talked about last time. I think that is embodied in the word value. Like, yep. if you're adding value, you know, if you're my realtor, if you're my car dealer, or if you're my mom or dad, you know, like if there's a reason why that conversation is valuable at that time, I'm going to engage with it.
Yep.
And it makes perfect sense that Facebook is going to recognize my engagement and say, oh, you must be into this now. You are all into organic gardening, you know, so right. We're going to push, you know, those types of posts that your friends and family and circles of friends are making to you so that you can engage with them more often.
Yep.
I think it's kind of funny that they talk about, there's been some conversation about loneliness and like exclusion and social media addiction. But really, if we're talking about like pushing posts that people engage with more, you're still spending a lot of time in Facebook.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was one of the comments I read from Zuckerberg's post said, we recognize that this might hurt us in the short term. But I don't think so. I mean, I don't buy it.
No.
You're still talking about long dwell time on Facebook.
Yeah. I think though, when he's saying this might hurt us, I think he's seeing it as from a marketing perspective. Is what I hear him saying is basically saying we are going to prioritize our users over the people that are paying us. And at the end of the day, from a business perspective, I think it's genius. I think he is going to then have more users, more engaged. Now, from an addiction standpoint, he's feeding the addiction even more. But I think, and then long term, when you have more engaged users, you can sell more advertising and he's going to make more money at the end of the day. But I think the people that are upset now are many people that spend a lot of money on page like ads, on boosted posts, and things to grow an audience where they said, well, now I've spent even more money to reach those folks is what I think, where I think Zuckerberg is getting more pushback of people that spend a lot of energy building an audience that aren't going to be able to engage that audience. Now, all of those people have been losing that audience for the last few years anyway. This isn't a new trend that pages are being demoted. I'm almost curious, like how much more can you demote a page's, you know, post value in the algorithm, but only time will tell.
Oh, you're exactly right. I mean, we've looked at some of this together and over the last couple of, certainly several months, but years, I mean, it's been very clear that your engagement metrics begin to fall off. And your price increases to get more views if it's not good. Yep. And so like they're calling out engagement bait.
Yes.
If you are clickbait, engagement bait, if you're scammy, skeezy posts, they're not going to get the traffic, you know?
Yeah. So I think when I hear engagement bait, what I hear is what I've seen a lot of marketers do that they play the algorithm.
Yeah.
And they will say, comment yes if you agree. You know, and almost that real clear. And I honestly, that's a tactic I've encouraged people to use before because I've said it's like in church when you tell everyone to stand up. If a worship leader doesn't tell you to stand up or sit down, you kind of have this awkward, I don't know what to do. But right. When you tell them exactly what you want them to do, they do it. Now, that works on social media, but I think that's what Facebook is saying when they call it engagement bait. Is when you have those kind of one word answers you're trying to just pull people into rather than just really trying to stir genuine conversation. How do you read engagement bait? Is there kind of a perception you have?
I think if you say comment yes or click, you know, like this if you agree or hate it if you don't agree, that's engagement bait. I mean, that's, you got to get better than that. You
have to get better than that. Yeah.
You're better than that, Nils. You can do better.
Oh man, and I have been transparent on this podcast that I have bought followers. I have tried every scammy tactic, and at the end of the day, the social network shut it down. You know, like it does.
Sure they do.
It might work for a short season, but it, you know, I had a YouTube channel shut down. I bought fake video views. You know, when I have tried it. Like, don't do it. It's always a trap that heads in a bad direction.
I know that Mark Zuckerberg listens to this podcast weekly. And yes. So, Mark, if you're listening, you should just blacklist Nils on everything. He's always cheating. He's cheating the system.
I am going to do everything to cheat the system. You know, one of the things that...
No. See, this is what I'm saying. You have to get just like understand value propositions.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
What do people in your audience want to hear, need to hear? Yep. What will they engage with? Give them something that's valuable.
Give them. So what, So I talked recently to the guys at the Bible Project who are creating some unbelievable video content that is engaging tremendously. And I've asked them to come on the podcast. Guys, I hope you will still come on the podcast. They weren't able to at the time, but they did. I said, can you just speak to your strategy? Just, you know, I'm curious, is there some kind of insights? And they're like, we just focus on creating great content. I'm like, no. What's your strategy? Content, good content. That's their bottom line strategy. Good content wins. I think if I'm gonna give you a tactic though associated to this shift, our friend Dave Adamson from North Point has always said use more question marks than periods on social media. So if you want to engage meaningful conversation, ask more questions. I mean, if you want to do this at a physical party, you know, you don't want to be the guy that just comes in and just starts talking. Start asking questions, getting to know people, but ask good questions. Don't always just ask shallow questions. Ask good questions that are going to stir good conversations, healthy conversations.
Are you a good party goer?
I used to be, but I have kids now, and so I don't go to too many parties.
Are you extrovert or introvert?
I'm total introvert.
Yeah. So you have to push like at a party or social gathering to think of questions.
I'm a natural question. Like I'm insight. Like I love getting to know people and asking questions. But I honestly, when I go to an event, I would do it every time and not talk to anybody if it wasn't weird and creepy. I love standing in the corner and just watching and people watching. Yeah. And I wish I could just listen in on other people's conversations. But I love asking questions and just getting to know people.
Just a side note. I used to go to the mall like with my grandparents and my parents or whatever. I remember as a little kid sitting on the bench with my grandpa because we were tired of walking.
Yeah.
And he would like, we'd just people watch and he'd like tell me, he'd make up stories about like, oh, this guy, you know, just came from the bank and it's, you know, it was awesome. I love that.
Yes.
I'm a people watcher as well. We have some friends that are really excellent question askers and my wife and I will go out to dinner and we're like, that was great. Wait a second. We talked the whole time. Oh man, I feel really bad. It's like, we need to get better at that. But that's, you're right. It's engaging. People will engage if you want to hear about them. And that's a great point as a way to add value.
Yeah. I think becoming a great question asker and preparing your questions, you know, a lot of times we are preparing our inspirational post and putting a lot into, you know, our content that we want people just to see and maybe like in the stream, but really put just as much, put twice as much energy into asking great questions. I remember at Community Bible Church, our number one best post, and this was not real strategic. We just found it to work very well, was once a week we would ask the question, how can we pray for you? That's simple. And we would, for the next hour, we would be live responding to every single response on there, making sure that they felt heard, that we were literally praying for them in the comments below. And I think, you know, there are just natural conversations that come out of that. And two, what happened too is it wasn't just people in our congregation asking for prayer and us as staff praying for them. It was other congregants then praying for them as well and responding to them in a community that was formed out of that request. I think prayer is a natural way to start those meaningful conversations. Nick, getting practical again to this alert from Facebook. One of the other things they mentioned, and I'm not seeing it right now. Well, I see it a little bit in here, but is that groups and comment or post from profiles or people and post from groups are going to be optimized in the newsfeed. Now, Facebook did share at F8 last year that post from groups are seen three times as much as post from page. So that's not been new news from Facebook. It sounds like that might even be higher now. Any thoughts on that of how churches and ministries can be using groups?
Well, you know, I'm a fan of groups and I'm glad you asked the question because I was thinking about that. Like groups are a great way to build engagement because Facebook's saying if you care to take the time to join this group, especially if it's a closed group.
Yep.
And, you know, I think this is something that a church can do. It might sound... doesn't make sense to like have something that's closed within the church.
Yep.
But what you're doing is you're saying you know, like it's exclusive. People want to be part of something that's exclusive. So say it's like the launch team, say you're a church plant. This is an easy example. I think also you can create groups in existing churches though, but say you're a church plant, you got the launch team, it's your core members, invite these people in. Now you're starting to ask questions there. Hey, what'd you guys think of, you know, this weekend service? How can I pray for you? Like you mentioned, but you're really building this social community around a common mission. And that, I believe, is a meaningful interaction. You know, Facebook's saying as they make these updates, you know, brands, businesses might see a decline. They're going to push more from family and friends, but they also are going to push more opportunities for people to engage with things that are meaningful. If you're part of a private group that you're engaging with regularly, you've already seen it 3 times more than some of the other pages that you follow. I think that's a great opportunity for churches. There's a church here in McKinney, Texas that has been around for about a year, and they call their private group the Dream Team. And it's like, hey, you are kind of like a founding member. And it's your place for, they've made this Facebook private group the place for church announcements, for sermon updates, for sermon notes, for the worship set on Sunday. They've done a great job with it too. I mean, that's, you get a ton of engagement. And I know that being a part of that group, I see that pushed to my newsfeed all the time over some of the other groups and pages that I follow.
Yeah. And just getting that notification is huge. One of the churches that I work with as a consultant emailed me today, didn't even ask my opinion there, about what they were going to do. They've already knee-jerked to this. And I think they made a good knee-jerk. They have dictated to their ministries that all ministries that have a page, and it was pretty common, you know, 3-4 years ago, just create a page for your ministry. We are moving. There's one page for our church. Everything else is a ministry. The women's ministry is a group. The men's ministry is a group. The sports ministry is a group. The Honduras mission team is a group. The small group leaders is a group. I feel like a church can have one page, maybe two. You know, I think there's certain churches that maybe have a very large worship ministry or something that is more public, but probably one page and probably 100 groups. There are so many small groups that might be 8 people, and then maybe some things like your women's group that is 300 people. So I think using your page and your groups and having those connected in some ways of promoting them, some of those being, most of those probably being private, some of those maybe even being secret, a couple of those maybe being open, but using the functionality of the groups are so much more simple, easier to manage. But I think the intimacy and Nick, to your point, the exclusivity of it, is really valuable and important. I think every small group in your church should have a Facebook group. I can't see a reason, unless it's a youth small group and they're not on Facebook. Facebook groups are such a powerful tool. And this shift is only, you know, in creating that, making a more significant place in the realm of groups on Facebook.
Yeah. And I think a way to just kind of a little tip to understand what Facebook thinks is important is, what are they feeding you? And so, you know, I've created a couple of Facebook pages here in the last few weeks. And one of the steps as they walk you through like how to create the page, you know, we've got the little tutorial. It's like connect your page to a group.
Yep.
Like they are pushing that. And when they push things, it's telling you that it's important. So if they see that it's valuable, figure out how to make that connection happen. I mean, what we hear over and over from these guys is, we want to make meaningful connections. We want to connect people together.
Yes.
And what that's starting to do is happen more and more offline than online.
Yep.
So I think online and offline are blended now more than ever.
Yep.
And that is what the church wants to accomplish as well. So personally, I don't see this as a scary thing. I think this is a step in the right direction for churches and ministries that are trying to do this anyway. It's going to get a lot better if we are willing to adjust and kind of fit into that.
Well, and I think church is about people connecting with people. This is about community. This is not about people listening to an organization.
Yeah.
This is about an organization that brings people together, and the organization is the people. So at the end of the day, what Facebook's goal and the church's goal is not that different. So it makes for a really great tool. Now, Facebook's mission is obviously very different from the mission of the church, but how what Facebook is trying to do to connect people, what the church is trying to do to connect people, and the church very specifically connecting people around their faith in Jesus. It's a great tool for churches to use. I do want one other thing I want to mention is we have talked about messenger bots quite a bit over the last 6 months on this podcast. I think this is even more reason for bots to be a significant part of your near future is I'm still hearing about a 92% open rate on broadcast from bots. If you want a lot of people to see what you have to say organizationally, get people to sign up for your bot. That can get direct, that will go directly to them with a high open rate, where maybe 5% see your Facebook page post, 92% see your bot, broadcast. I think that's a huge opportunity if you're thinking, how do I use Facebook to engage directly? Now, a bot is not a place for community. A bot is a place for individual interaction. So that Facebook is not just creating more specific tools to engage in different ways. And the way we've historically used our pages is going to need to change. And that's what this announcement is all about. And to your point, Nick, I think it's a good change. I think we will see it as good change. It's just a change and we have to adapt and adjust.
Hey, it's going to keep changing. Just figure it out, roll with it, and keep moving forward. That's where measurement becomes really important, though.
That's right.
And so what they're saying is, you know, we've seen a similar thing recently with Google, where they're prioritizing click-through rate now, specifically on the nonprofit grants. And this is off topic. We can talk about that later. But what I told our team today is like, hey, if Google says that this is important, guess what? All of a sudden it's important to us. If Facebook says that meaningful connections is important, if you want to keep, you know, this thing going in a direction that's meaningful and valuable for your church and your community, then you have to care about engagement now. So, and that's, I think ultimately though, like you were saying, it leads us all to the same place, which is meaningful, purposeful face-to-face connections.
Yeah.
Which is exciting. It's going to be cool to see how this rolls out.
Yep. So quit freaking out and get excited and adapt and adjust. And let's just keep moving. And you know, 2 billion people are actively using Facebook. We have gospel opportunities like we've never had before. Let's celebrate it. Let's get excited about it. And let's adjust where we need to adjust. And let's just keep pressing forward. I want to thank everyone for listening to this podcast. If you would share this podcast with a friend, and if you really want to help this podcast reach more people, if you just take a few minutes and review this podcast in iTunes, that would mean a ton to us. The podcast is also available on Alexa. We have an Alexa skill. So just say enable Social Media Church or go to Spotify. We're now available on Spotify. So many places. So review it, listen to it, download, and share this podcast. Thanks so much for listening.